This is the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, March 26th. Today we take some time off from our regular Lenten schedule to hear two very different people talk about Royal Family Kids Camp. Bruce Kucharski, the auctioneer from our first two auctions, is here to tell us about what the camp has come to mean to him and a little about the auction, which is RFKC's primary fundraiser. Then, we are privileged to have Wayne Tesh, the founder of Royal Family Kids Camp from Santa Ana, California, deliver today's sermon.
Good morning. I want to thank you for having me back again this year. For those of you who don't remember who I am, my name is Bruce Kucharski. I am an auctioneer licensed and bonded in favor of the state of Ohio. And as Pastor Dave said, about 3 years ago, I got a phone call from a member of your church and a lady who's become a great friend and loyal customer. Her name is Sally Householder. And she explained to me that the Strongsville Methodist Church had started this great initiative and fundraiser for an organization called Royal Family Kids Camp, and that it was to benefit foster youth in Cuyahoga County. And she wanted to know if I might be interested in helping out their auction fundraiser. And I said to her, well, is there going to be food? And she said, of course. So I was on board right away. And I was just happy to jump in and try and understand what the organization was about a little bit. So Sally then put me in touch with her daughter, Jen Kruger. And Jen invited me to some of the committee meetings that are held here in preparation for the event. And that's when I really kind of got an opportunity to get a taste of the flavor of what this organization is about. And I just want to throw a few ideas out there that really kind of blew me away when I first heard them. And there were things like, I've never tasted birthday cake. Or I never thought I would be able to ride a bike. Or what is a s'more? Okay. These were real ideas out there. And I began to understand that Royal Families Kids Camp is exactly what it sounds like. It's a camp in which these foster children can go to have experiences that they wouldn't otherwise have. So my initial thought at that is, well, this is great. We're going to give these kids the opportunity to go zip lining or tubing down, you know, the Mohican River or something like that. And that's not exactly what it is. It's the experience for them to taste birthday cake because they never have, or to ride a bike because they'll never own a bike, or something, to sit around a campfire and learn how to make a s'more with some other kids that are in their same situation. So it was really kind of humbling to understand that experiences as simple as those are the ones that we were trying to foster. You know, the first auction fundraiser happened 3 years ago, and in spite of the anxiety and the stress and the lost hours of sleep shared by the committee members in preparation for that event, it was a wild success. It did great, and then the second year was every bit as successful. And my wife was able to join me at the event where we auctioned off some really wonderful live items. And on the way home, after everything had died down, we were talking about the events of the evening, what a family the committee is and how they've all come together to make this wonderful opportunity happen. And the car got kind of quiet. And I said to her, you realize tonight we helped send 32 foster kids to camp. We got to be a part of that. We were an instrumental part of that. You know, we could never take credit for it all because there's a great big community that comes together. But we were physically a part of that. And I remember that phone call with Sally when she initially called me. My thought was, sure, I've got time for that opportunity. And after 3 years of doing this, it's not time for the opportunity. It's not that I have time for the opportunity. It's that it's an opportunity I don't have time to miss. It's much bigger than this. In addition to just this event, one of the motivations behind Royal Family Kids Camp is that we bring these foster kids to bring and know and love the teachings of Jesus Christ. And in the efforts to prepare for these events, the committee member and team members go out and they solicit donations from local business owners, not just in Strongsville, but all over Cuyahoga County. And this year, Jen Kruger had an opportunity to speak with a business owner about any items that he might like to donate. And a gentleman sitting off to the side having lunch overheard his conversation. He says, you know, ma'am, I'd really like to talk to you when you're done here. And so she approached him when she was finished, and he said, you know, He introduced himself and he said, we've had over 20 kids come through our home in the foster program in Cuyahoga County. We adopted six, we raised them as our own, we put them through college, and they are active contributing members to society today. And he handed her a donation and a card with his contact information. And on the card was a verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 that said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And then later in chapter 4, verse 13 of Philippians, it says, I can do this, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. These are the ministries we're taking to these children. And then Sue Puffer and Mary have been here introducing RFK to you in previous years and remind us all that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. We are the ones responsible for facilitating the relationship between these children and Jesus Christ. And we're fortunate enough to have Wayne with us here today, who's the face of RFK. He'll explain to you more about the relationships that children have with Jesus Christ and how influential it really is. But without our help, that doesn't happen. Those families don't get created. And it happens, it impacts more than me as an auctioneer volunteering my time, because I'm hooked. I won't get away from this now. Okay, it affects more than the committee members or the volunteers. It's affected your church family. There's a family here at Strongsville Methodist Church who, as a result of their volunteer experiences at camp, grew their own family just last year and adopted their son. So it's right in the hearts of what you have here. Now, what this raises is an opportunity for these kids. You really can't put a price on opportunity. But I'm an auctioneer, and that's what I do. So to get these kids to camp, we have to sell stuff for them at the tune of $100. Where? Let's have it $100 bid. I need $100. We got $100 bid. You got $100 bid here. Who's got a bid? One. I've been going one. Down one and a quarter. One and a quarter bid now. One and a half. I got one and a half bid here now. 75. 75 bid now. Two. Who's got a $200 bid? Two bid now. Two and a quarter. Who's got a two? Two and a quarter bid now. Two and a half. Two and a quarter bid now. Two and a half bid now. 75. 75 bid now. Three back in a $300 bid. Are you bidding at $300? Where? Let's have it at three. Three's in now. Three and a quarter. Three and a quarter bid now. Three and a half. Has got three and a half. Keep waving. 375 or three and a half. Three. Who's $375 bid? You're in at three and a half, 75. Three and a half been here at 75. You're in at 75, but now $400 where? Let's have a $400 bid. We got to keep going. Four. Let's have it at $400 bid. Who's got him at four? Four bid here now, four and a half. We got a kid to camp. Let's go 475. Let's go 475. Five to 475 back into 475 to 475 bid. You're sold at $475. We just have more fun from here, folks. This really is a great event. It's coming up the 21st of April. It's going to be at the Strongsville Rec Center, and there's a table set up in your lobby today, so please stop and pay us a visit. We'd love to have you out. And thank you for having me back.
I wanted to read the scripture this morning that Wayne will refer to in the message. It comes from 2 Samuel chapter 9. The background of it, real briefly, is that David is an old king of Israel. He is sitting, I imagine, like on his red couch, and he thinks back to a time where he made a promise to a friend, Jonathan was his name, who was actually the king's son at the time, so he would have been an heir to the throne, a potential competitor. And he made a promise to Jonathan, if anything ever happens to you and you have a child, I'll take care of that child. Jonathan had a son, his name was Mephibosheth, and this young boy was born disabled. So here's where the story picks up. The king then summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belongs to Saul and all his house I will give to this child. You and your sons and your servant will till the land. You'll bring produce and fruit and you will give it to him and to his family. Mephibosheth shall always eat at my table. So he came and he ate at the king's table like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house came and became Mephibosheth's servant. And he lived in Jerusalem and always ate at the king's table and remained lame in both of his feet. The word of God for the people of God. So Wayne Tesh was a pastor in California who was minding his own business like most people are, being pastor, doing what pastors do. And the Lord whispered to him about a dream to see young children who were in the foster system and rotated around to different homes who had been abused and neglected be given an experience of camp and then eventually assigned a mentor who would walk with him in life. In 1990, 27 years ago, Wayne left the local church and launched full-time Royal Family Camp International. In 2015, Royal Family Kids served over 8,000 kids that summer in 209 camps, 40 states, and 4 international countries. One of those camps and 32 of those kids were yours. Amazingly, over 100,000 children have now experienced eating s'mores and being in the beauty of God's cathedral with God's people surrounding them to love them and to serve them and to care for them. And real live miracles happen because an obedient person listened to a dream and then worked his tail off to see it come true with Christ. Wayne, we are so honored to have you. If you would welcome Wayne Tesh.
Thanks, Mike. I just love coming to Ohio. Of all the states, I know when I come to Ohio, I'm going to see orange barrels in Ohio. I understand that the state had a warehouse of orange barrels, and they couldn't pay the bills, so they got distributed out among all the roads. So that's what happens. Dave, thank you for your kindness, and for the church here in Strongsville. Thank you for who you are and what you do. It's just marvelous to have the heart of helping children makes all the difference in the world. And I just want to say thank you for that. You are part of over 200 churches in America that are involved with Royal Family Kids. We take 7.5% of all the children in foster care in America to Royal Family between the ages of 6 and 12. The state of Ohio is taking 17% of all the children in foster care with your 8 camps that you have here in Ohio. That is just incredible. And I just want to say thank you for who you are and what you do. Sue Puffer has done a marvelous job in organizing people to be involved. And if you're not involved, please take time. There's a table out there. Get the information. And thank you for making that happen. I've learned a lot of things in being involved with children. And I'll never forget, I was in Michigan, and I had a little boy come up to me and go, "Pastor Tesh, me and Jesus, we've got a lot in common." Now, I've been around a long time, a real long time. And one of the things that really struck me is that this first time I've ever had a kid say that to me, "Me and Jesus, we have a lot in common." So I got down on one knee and I said, "What is that?" He looked at me and he said, "We both have foster dads by the name of Joseph." I never looked at Joseph like that. And that got me thinking. I said, I wonder how many more children have been raised in homes other than their own. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad, they were married for 55 years. My in-laws were married for 63 years. And my wife and I, this August, will celebrate 100 years of marriage, 50 for her and 50 for me. So I've been around for a long time. So to be able to look in Scripture and open up the Bible and read how normal kids grew up in homes other than their own, that was a foreign concept to me. Now, we've got a few minutes here, so strap on your seatbelt because we're going to be flying sky high over some of these Scriptures and just drop down. The pastor, he knows a whole lot more about all this stuff, so he can share with you the intimate details and everything. We're just going to zip through this rather quickly, okay? And that's what pastors do. They always correct guest speakers after they've been here for a while, you know, so you've got one of the best that can do that. And he's good at that, of just understanding God's word, and he'll share that with you. But when you think of kids growing up in homes other than their own, the first one that comes to mind is Moses. What I love about Moses is that he is a young Jewish boy that was pulled out from the Nile River, and he grew up in an Arab home, the king of Egypt. I just thought that was kind of interesting, where an Arab would adopt a Jewish boy, because that's something foreign in today's world. And to be able to look at what took place back there. And one of the things that happened, if Moses would have stayed with his people, he would have been enslaved, and he would have a slave mentality of just all the time just not recognizing that there's a whole world out there that God had for him. He would have just grown up saying, this is all I can do. I've been born a slave, this is all that I can do. But what happened is that by moving into the palace, I mean, how would you like to say change addresses? Oh, I'm grown into the palace. What happened is that the palace of that day is that it was the center of the knowledge base of Egypt. And he was being taught by all these incredible scholars that just could share intimate details about the universe and that. So he was getting a whole lot more of education. And it was one of the greatest leadership schools that he ever went through, because he had to develop that understanding that God was bigger than what he experienced and what his people were involved with as a slave, because they didn't understand how big the world really was. Moses came and made a difference there. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I think of Samuel. Samuel, we're just buzzing through here, but Samuel. Well, Hannah, Samuel's mom, said, hey, I want to go to Eli and let Eli raise Samuel. Now that really sounds good, except when you read the story of Eli, he probably wouldn't have met the standards that Ohio has on foster parents. You know, he was so bad. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and on the side, you know, they were stealing the offerings and had a business on the side making money. I mean, they were the teen terrors of the temple. They were just bad people to be involved in something like that. And here, all of a sudden, Hannah brings her only son and places him right there in Eli's home. But God knew that he had a plan for Samuel. And every year, Hannah would come and bring a robe and put that robe on Samuel and say, Samuel, God spoke to me, and I know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. You're going to be an incredible witness and a voice that will carry forth the message of hope and healing in the community in which you live. And she spoke words that allowed Samuel to grow and develop and be who he became. The next year, she'd come back and say, this robe, it's a little bigger, Samuel. You're growing a little bit more, but remember, when you were a little baby, I dedicated you, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that one voice kept saying over and over again every year, I imagine Samuel could hardly wait for his mother to show up to say, oh, I wonder what's going to happen now. And what happens is that studies now have proven that one person's voice can make a huge difference in the destiny of a child's life. And I would challenge you to be that voice, to be able to communicate the hope that that child could attain, to recognize that they have gifts and talents that can make a huge difference in their world. And you can be that voice. Well, the question is, in all these things, is who was that voice in your life? Was it a father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, aunt, uncle, neighbor, coach, teacher, somebody? Who was that voice that spoke to you to tell you that God has a plan for your life? And the flip side of that, who are you telling that God has a wonderful plan for their life? Who are you encouraging with your words to lift them up, to be the person that they can be? That's the power of community. That's the power of what we can do. The destiny of the words we speak into children's lives makes a huge difference. And then Esther, who grew up in a family because of her parents passed away and she was just by herself. So her uncle took her on and said, you can grow up with me. And there was a moment. There was a moment in Esther's history that she came to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's what I find interesting. It's such a time as this that God shows up. And what I like it is when your past, Robert Clinton says that in The Making of a Leader, when your past and your present collide in the future, convergence takes place, and you know that God has called you for the purpose and meaning that you have for your life. When your past and your future collide in the present, you know that God is there with you. That's incredible. And we all have those moments that can take place like that. And then I think of Timothy, who grew up in a home that was a single mom and a grandma. Somewhat of what's a microcosm of what's going on in our today's world. And yet God has a plan for Timothy. Now, your pastor can go really deep in that, but that's what this is all about. When you look at Scripture from up above and you just skim through it, you begin to see that God had a plan for children to grow up in homes other than their own. And how fortunate we are to be part of that community of faith that can surround people, that when they come in and worship and when they come together in meetings, we're able to encourage them and lift them up with our words and just by being there. That's what we can do. I have been around children many times, and it's just part of what happens, and they've taught me a lot. And I'll never forget this one boy who, his name was Shorty, and it's amazing how in the first year of doing something, that story still sticks with you. And I remember coming down the bus down the mountain, and I have Shorty sitting next to me, and he's fallen asleep. And I know something that Shorty does not know, and that is when he arrives at the parking lot, he's going to be moved to another foster home. And I'm going, I don't understand how this works. And I realize that most foster kids move 5 to 7 times. They move into different homes all the time. And we wonder why there's issues that are going on. And the best way to illustrate this is that my daughter, when she was 7, 8 years old, out in California, we planted a garden. It's what you do back here, especially in the Midwest. California, they don't plant gardens, they plant flowers. But in the Midwest, you plant these incredible gardens. So mine was waist high, just a little bit, so I didn't have to bend over to pull the weeds, you know. So it was just little short little things. So I put in my peas, my beans, my tomatoes, my carrots, and I put in those things so that my daughter would have the opportunity to watch something grow from a seed. Well, we're sitting around the dinner table, and she comes home, and she goes, Dad, the carrots aren't growing. And I said, what do you mean the carrots aren't growing? She goes, every time I come home from school, I run in the backyard and I pull up a carrot and I see and it's not growing. So I put it back into the ground again and plant it again. And I come back and I pull it up and they're just not growing. And that's what happens to foster children. When they go from place to place, when they're yanked out of one home and put into another home, yanked out of another home and put into another home, they have a way of just shutting down, and they lose that glow and that understanding of what family is about. And I'll never forget what Shorty sitting next to me. And it's what I want you to sense and feel. When he tapped my shoulder, and he said, Pastor Tesh, thanks for the week. Most kids at that age do not understand how to use gratitude. But I want to give to you what Shorty said to me. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for making a difference in kids' lives. Thank you for taking the Word of God and expanding yourself to be able to take on more kids, to say, we care about you. You're the heroes of the faith. You're not caught into this building. You're the salt and light into the world in which we live. And I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of children, feel Shorty's tap. Thank you. Father, what a privilege it is to just be able to sense and feel your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and grace and your mercy. Thank you for Psalm 40 that says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he put within my heart a new song. Thank you for these, your people, that have done incredible, amazing things on behalf of children who come from difficult places. Lord, we pray now that you'll go with these people, that you'll bless them and encourage them. Let them be a voice to lift people's spirits, Lord, wherever they walk and wherever they go. Continue to bless them, Lord, to be a blessing. We ask this in your name. Amen and amen.